Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rockshore on Off the Ball.
Well, if Daniel Kelly won that header, you clip that and you save that in the Shelbourne folklore.
League of Ireland Late Night, live every Friday from 10 on Twitter Spaces.
Welcome along, everyone, to the final League of Ireland Late Night of the season. Late night on a Saturday, and maybe not as late as you're used to. What a day we've had, what a season we've had. Shamrock Rovers have lifted their trophy. Waterford will face one of Bray Wanderers or Tralee United in the promotion relegation playoff next week. And it's going to be a nervous wait for Bohemians as they hang on to see if Shamrock Rovers can do the business in the cup final and they'll be allowed to enter Europe next season. League of Ireland football on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the ever-present Johnny Ward. Johnny, how are you doing?
How are you, Ben?
All good. And Shane Keegan. He's off celebrating his new appointment to the Wexford backroom team. So we drafted in quite the replacement. Barry Murphy on the way back from Drogheda. How are you getting on?
Yeah, not too bad, Ben. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yeah, all good. There might be a little bit of feedback when someone else is talking, but we have you in there anyway. Well, where do we start, lads? What a day of football. The season's came to the end. I suppose we may as well start with Barry yourself up at Drogheda and Bowes. What a win for Bowes, and it's given them the chance for Europe next season now.
Ben, it was wonderful. Just on the way in, the place was absolutely rammed. We've been up there so many times for Drogheda doing well and winning leagues and just seeing the amount of people outside it. But the queues coming into Drogheda for this game was massive, just coming in at the start. And then the atmosphere, the rain came down at the start. Bowes started really well. Drogheda got into it, and then that obviously John Mountney kind of fouled early on, and you thought, is that a red card? Is that going to be the start of it? Got a yellow, got away with it, and then a couple of minutes later, should have been sent off really with that second yellow, got away with it. And then Bowes blew into the game, Clark scored a wonder goal across to the left, and just skipped by a couple of challenges, brilliant finishing to the bottom left-hand corner, beat Luke Dennison. And then you just look at Trotter reacted to that, not getting a second yellow card when that foul happened. And Conor Keely got a brilliant header onto it again. He's done a 7th goal of the season, a brilliant finish from him. And he's got Trotter coming after him now. The atmosphere just grew. But Bowes were absolutely brilliant in that game. Really grew into it, managed it really well. And to start out the end, it worked quite comprehensively. But we got very tense with 20 minutes to go, not knowing what the score was in Talker Park. And we had to wait for crowd reactions to that. Well, obviously, we were live on commentary, trying to keep an eye on that game as well. But just a brilliant performance for Bowes. And when there were questions during the week about their mentality, I had questions myself about them. How do they react after that shell defeat? Would they come out with their tails between their legs? But they didn't. They had distances of everything in that game. On the front foot, first into the tackle, excellent on the ball. Ross Tierney, your big player, Dawson the boy, Clark was excellent for 2 brilliant goals. So really deserved a win at the end. And they have to get down to the last 5 minutes then and talk about to seal the deal and give them a chance now going to that final for Rovers to do them a favour.
Yeah, we might get on to Drogheda in a minute, but first, if we just touch on Bowes. Johnny, were you watching this game?
Yeah, I was in Off the Ball today on the Saturday shift, so I wasn't able to go to one of the games, but I was watching Bowes and the Galway United Waterford game as well. So it was the best day ever for a red zone, Ben. And, the one thing it was lacking was late drama. There was actually very little, like there wasn't a real mad late goal or anything. And ultimately Thomas is sending off just killed it in Drogheda, because at that stage Drogheda needed two goals with 10 men. They were never going to do it. And ultimately I think Paul Norton, like, was, he had a massive, massive role in the, what would likely be the last team going into European combat, because, I had a financial investment in the game, and I was siding with Drogheda because they were very big outsiders. And I was kind of roaring at screen when he didn't send John Mountney off. I actually couldn't believe it. Now, I think referees in Ireland, they've a kind of, some of them anyway, and maybe most of them, have this idea. You have to be absolutely, absolutely sure if you send a player off for a second yellow. But, you know, Bose have had various right backs this season. Generally, they're not, you know, they've relied on players who are not necessarily natural right backs. Mountney's been kind of sporadically used. He was booked very early, which was a bad, bad challenge. And, it, you know, the whole point there from a Drogheda perspective is you have to target him. Like, Conor Kane ran at him. He was late with the challenge. You know, I'm very much a believer in yellow cards being given out. Only if they are proper yellow cards. Not every tackle is a yellow card, but this was an absolute yellow card. And then, as much as Drogs did score afterwards, 11-10 is a different game. So they brought it in terms of, you know, Markey's missed penalty against Shamrock Rovers. What happened tonight with Paul Norton not sending off Mountney, and then the fact that that whole mess with Europe and not getting into Europe, they've been so unlucky this season, and I feel Drogheda have had an unbelievable season. There's no way they should have been doing as well as they have been doing. But apart from that, what other things to talk about tonight? Pats are the story for me massively as well. Like Bowes. I like what Barry said there. I haven't had any worries in relation to Bowes or attitude or anything like that. I mean, you gotta remember they were beating Shells with 5 minutes to go. They were good against Pats, probably deserved to win that game in some respects. They've been a little bit unlucky with results recent weeks, but you could, you know, obviously the fans are getting on Rennie's back, but I thought Bowes were good tonight. They were much the better team. You know, we can debate little things that happened in the game, but they were good. But Pats, like, then ultimately I quickly turned over for the last, was about 10 minutes left, including injury time. Pats had a vague shout for a penalty, but Shells actually missed two sitters in the last few minutes, and that is a really, really damp end to the season for Pats. Like, really, really poor. Like, the loss in Cork City was desperate, but this was a flop of a season. There's no getting away from it, to miss out in the top four. But my last word on this whole thing, you know, I give Sligo Rovers, I suppose, nearly the job that John Russell has done is phenomenal. But Stephen Walsh, to get that goal, how vital Stephen Walsh has been for Galway United in recent weeks. The game against Cork City, which they really needed to win, he was brilliant in that game, basically kind of forced a penalty in the game against Bowes, that which looked a great win at the time, and scored again tonight. Massive point. He's had a phenomenal season. I don't know how long more he will be with United. Will there be big changes next season? But it was an amazing night for Galway United to stay up, and he is a massive part of it. But part of me is wondering, you know, congratulations Shamrock Rovers and all that, but part of me really now in terms of next season is wondering what St. Pat's will do in terms of upheaval in terms of their squad, because this has been a flop of a season.
Yeah, I'm just after coming out of Talca Park there, and if you're watching that game as a neutral, I can't, you know, you're watching that game, and if you were to pick a team that had something on the line, had something to play for, you would have said it was Shelburne. It was a really poor performance, I thought, from Pats. Melia, you know, had a couple of chances, a bit of a bright spark. I thought they were very poor, and it's kind of been a story of a season where I kind of had this feeling before the game, about 5 minutes before the game, when the atmosphere was building and Pats come out, and I said, no, they'll do it, they'll get over the line, and Kenny will be fine. But my God, they were poor. They had that penalty shout at the end. It was over the far side to us in the press box, so, you know, I don't want to call it one way or the other. It looked like one of those days where it could have been given. There was another shout for a handball just after from a corner, but like you said, Shelburne probably should have won it. The Harry Wood chance at the end looked destined to fall into the back of the net from where we were sat. And ultimately, if I was to look at that game as a whole, I'd say Shelburne probably deserved to win it. Pats probably shouldn't have been in the game with a couple of minutes to go, but it's going to cause serious questions now. I was among many people who I'm sure had Pats nailed on to be a title challenger at the start of the season. And it's going to cause serious questions of Stephen Kenny that, you know, not the loss to Cork in the Cup semi-final, and then the run in, that draw with Waterford last week, the draw with Galway a few weeks before it as well. Like, a top four finish should have been nailed on a couple of weeks ago, I think, for Pats. It shouldn't have even counted this.
Yeah, I suppose we can get Baz in on this as well now. Good old line to Pats and all that. But I tipped Pats to win the league, right? And I tipped Aidan Keane to be top scorer. So, I mean, one of them has ended up being as bad as the other. So I'm going to put my hands up there. But like, when you looked at the way they finished the season, and when you looked at, like, they had this Mason Melia, who was grown as a player, and they had Keane as well. They had lots going for them. But I do wonder about the dressing room for me. There's just something there that doesn't quite click when you look at Pats. And like that performance in Turner's Cross when the chips were down was so poor. And this is a massive challenge for Stephen Kenny to come from the international job to a job in the League of Ireland, where he's been given a contract that's totally unheard of in League of Ireland in terms of depth and length. And you have a lot of players signed on that aren't like out of contract at the end of the season. He has big, big calls to make, because I think the squad does need, I think, like, some big names absolutely need to go. And now obviously Melia is going to be gone, and Aidan Keane has had a very, very poor second half of the season, second, third, and last third of the season. So the Kenny, Gartland axis, is going to have a big, big question stance. You know, that's not the most straightforward club to work at 100%. And Gareth Kelleher will absolutely demand more next season, but it's going to be, I don't know, what do you think is going to happen in the off season, Baz?
Yeah, it's interesting. The way the league is going now, players need to be multifunctional. They need to do a bit of everything. And Pats don't have enough of those players. You look at Jamie Lennon in the middle. He will get up and down that pitch. He'll put the tackles in. You got one or two orders. Maybe Joe Redman can do it as well. But out of that starting 11, is there many orders that can do it? You look at tonight, Dawson DeVoy got up and down the pitch. Was phenomenal on the ball. Tracking back, doing things. Rovers have them. Derry have them. Diallo in there. You've got Healy and Rovers doing it. Brilliant on the ball. Dylan Watts. Lads that can do a bit of everything. But Pats don't have enough of those players that will go up and down the pitch, put in tackles, do the hard yards essentially, and then have the quality on the ball. They definitely have the quality on the ball when needed. But you look at some of the signings as well. They took a chance on Raval Palmer, signed him injured. He was obviously an exceptional player when he is on the pitch, but he's off the pitch way too long for my liking. You look at Mulroney as well, so in and out of form. Elvis Eddy has been brilliant for the last 9 games last season. Has obviously had an injury this season after that European game. Too many big players missing off the pitch, and when they do come on the pitch, don't affect them enough for me. And Dick Kenny is all about swingers, and when the swingers aren't performing, there's not enough elsewhere stepping up to go and do it. For the money they've spent, and the big time they made at the start of the season, and I know it's only a year into the 5-year contract, but they spent big and went big at the start of the season to bring in players and try and have a real go to the league, and to not finish in the top 4 is criminal at this stage. You just look at both tonight, and I don't know what the kind of noise were around Tonka Park in terms of the Pats goals coming in and whether there was a reaction on the pitch to those goals coming in. Because at the end, there certainly was when the nil-all was seemed like it was going to happen at Tonka Park. Both were pushing for a fifth to try and go and cement that and make sure that they got that fifth goal, and it meant they went ahead of Pats and goal difference with goals scored. That's kind of the mentality Pats are both went out with. In terms of trying getting over the line, and just in terms of the balls of Paddy the last couple of weeks, they've fallen right off the horse in terms of results. I think they've been really fortunate that Rovers win in August. They've been right off. They were only 9 points off Shamrock Rovers at the start of October, I think. And then to fall from grace, and then to kind of get things back on the horse tonight, it's a really big result to go and do it, and hope that Rovers go and I do them a favour in the FAI Cup final. I just don't think Pats had that. I think Pats put all their eggs into one basket against Waterford. They could have got some results against Bowles and Dalymount, didn't. Put all the eggs in one basket against Waterford, didn't get over the line there. And that's been the story of their season so far. Just haven't stepped up when it's really mattered.
Do we have Anthony in there? We might continue on this Bowles perspective and get a bit of perspective from a Bowles fan. Anthony, were you at the game today?
Yeah, how you Ben? How's it going? How are you, Barry? How are you, Johnny?
How's it going, Andy?
Yeah, no, listen, the lads' assessment there was very good. I thought what Barry said was pretty much down to a T what I was looking at, and I think Johnny's right in his kind of overall assessment of it. I think, look, no one can argue that Mountney should have been sent off. But on the other side of the coin with that was I was kind of calling for a bit of kind of shithousery the last few weeks, or someone just to be like John Mountney that's coming, I've won a few leagues, look, we're not endorsing bad tackles or trying to get people sent off or anything like that, but there was a little bit more kind of, even the change, and then it brings it back on, and you're kind of like, right, Bows are in this game, they're up for it, they're here, they're kind of, he chased one down at the back post before that incident as well, and he got a ball back in, Douglas James Taylor just swung a left boot where and went over the bar, whereas we kind of lacked that the last few weeks, it lacked a little bit of kind of personality in the back line or something. Does anyone echo that sentiment, kind of what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, and I think, when you think of, I suppose when you think of Roy Keane's challenge against Overmars and that, like, Mountney's challenge was a bit of that, like, was this really early statement of intent. But like, Bows have very good footballers. Like, that's the bottom line. They're very good footballers. Dawson Devoy is a contender for player of the year, I think. And I will say one thing as well. Colm Whelan has had such a disappointing season. I was delighted for him to get a goal tonight. He looked really, really sharp. And he was one of the reasons I thought Bows would do maybe a little bit better this season, but maybe he'll be able to kick on. It just hasn't been his season so far, but like, he did finish well. And to be fair to Bows, like, they were much the better team tonight, albeit they were lucky.
Yeah, he's a little bit unlucky. That's a good point, Johnny. Like, Colin Whelan's a very good player. He's a little bit unlucky in the sense of the way he plays. He comes towards the ball a little bit and then he kind of turns out. Whereas we've all players that want to do that already. So when he comes on, we have to change our whole style of play, and it doesn't really suit that. And you can kind of see stuff breaking down, and there's similar players doing similar things on the pitch, and it can get very frustrating. So although Colin Whelan has a lot of talent, The boys on the pitch, the Clarks, the Dale Rooneys, the Ross Tierneys, they're all in that little kind of, we wouldn't have called it this years ago, but they're kind of all between the lines, and it's all a bit samey. Whereas Douglas James Taylor today didn't do much in the game. If you're giving him a rating, you're probably giving him a 5.5 out of 10. But he was a presence there that helped the lads pick up them spots that they weren't able to pick up the last few weeks whenever he was missing. Now, look, all that being said, if you look at it from the bigger picture over the whole season, if you had said, look, you're going to finish 4 or 5 points behind Shelbourne come the end of the season, you're going to be up there in with a shout of Europe, as a Bows fan, you would have said, yeah, we'll take that. Let's take that and build on that. But as the season progressed, we thought, right, we've really good players here. We've some of the best players in the league, as shown tonight. But that sort of, the way I'm thinking about it all week is, look at Shelbourne and what they done. And they went out and they brought Jack Henry, Francis Mbeng, Vessel Spiel in goal. If you were to add them three players into the Bows team whenever they were second, now I know we're talking hypothetically here, but if you added that sort of depth and strength into the Bows team, and I know they done it for Europe and they had to do it, you would have maybe seen Bows finishing second or third this year. And so, like, that was the sort of, and that's not slight at Shelbourne, that's just the difference in how Shelbourne were at the win in 7 out of the last 6 games and overtaking Drogheda, Pats, pushed Derry right to the edge, even though Derry had a huge advantage over them. So if you're looking at it like that, we're kind of going, right, we can lose out to a team that adds 4 or 5 players into their squad that the league champions that make them better that are coming from behind, that kind of puts it into perspective a little bit.
I think the loss of Sean Gretton.
Yeah, you have to keep James Douglas Taylor off.
Go on, Barry.
Go on, Daddy. Yeah.
No, go on.
Yeah, you have to keep Douglas James Taylor on the pitch. I think it's imperative. You look at the difference he made tonight.
Yeah.
He got into some brilliant positions there. His finishing was way off and came off then with trapped in the second half, but obviously that's down the game time. And then you look at Clark scoring the 2 goals. Yeah, from positions he probably shouldn't score goals from. He was kind of the difference maker in terms of quality, but
he's the difference allowed have this.
He makes the top James Taylor.
Exactly.
He was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, because he's allowed to have that space to peel off and he's attracting players to him and he's opening up the space. Whereas when Douglas James Taylor's not there, he's playing as a false nine. We probably have Parsons. It's all wide stuff. It's a little bit kind of, now look, don't get me wrong. They done well last week against Shelbourne for long periods of the game, and they were, I was heartbroken all week. You couldn't but feel very, very disheartened after that as a Bowes fan. You felt the whole world was going to implode. But even today, as a fan, I wasn't expecting much, because exactly how you said it, Barry, what's the character of these lads? How are they going to show up? How are they even going to pick themselves up off the floor over that? When they were 2-1 at half time, they're just going to be thinking about all the same scenarios that they went through last week. And a lot of them played well. And another point to note is, you're looking at Lee Cavanagh and Cian Bourne playing centre half. Both of them are, I think, 21. Like, another example, I know we have some fantastic young defenders in the league, but there's no one taking the mantle like that. I know Lewis Temple's doing well at Shelburne. I think he's 20 or 21, but he's in and out a little bit. He still relies on the Paddy Barretts and these sort of players. Whereas these guys were really good against Shelburne for long periods last week, and Cian Bourne's been excellent. I think Cian Bourne was probably unlucky not to be looked at for team of the year as well. Considering what he'd done at Galway at the start, and when he left, the impact it had on Galway afterwards, you might vouch for that, Johnny.
Yeah, he was brilliant for us actually. Yeah, and you know, in fairness, with the two of them centre backs, I saw them against Pats. They were very, very good. But you know, I think you want to end the season looking at something to build on. I felt the criticism of Alan Reynolds and Stephen O'Donnell, and obviously Rennie in particular, I just felt it was a bit unwarranted, because the Bowes players were absolutely playing for them. And when you think they actually. They went the season without really having a proper goal scorer scoring for them. And you mentioned Douglas James Taylor. I think he will come good. Maybe Whelan will come good. They did get a little bit away with it on gambling on the likes of, you know, right backs that aren't right backs at the end, Moorhan and tonight Mountie. They did get away with it a bit with the decision tonight. But I think there'll be a lot of positivity from Bowes this season. It was an amazing effort to beat Shamrock Rovers away in Tallaght from the position they were in. They didn't start the season well. And even their recent results for me were, you know, they were a bit misleading in terms of performances, and they have plenty of upside. And I'm not a believer in, you know, I do think if you give a manager time, and like Rennie and Stephen O'Donnell, they're good coaches. Like they know the league inside out, and the players were playing for them. And the club's been so well run off the pitch. They'll go into the off season now. Looking forward eventually, I suppose, to that time outside of Daily Mount. But, I think it's been overall, it's been a decent off season from Bowes.
Yeah. Look, Johnny, exactly to that point, nothing else matters if the players are all playing for them, and that's exactly what they're doing. You seen, there was a period there where every single player, and it was 35 minutes ago, every single player and backroom staff on the Bowes bench was standing up, and the fourth official was having to tell them all to sit down. They couldn't sit down, they were too nervous. So when you have that sort of lads like Cornwall, they hasn't played in weeks, and they're all standing up, Buckley, they're all standing up, and they're getting behind kind of what's there. That's the key thing you have to look at. There's nobody throwing the arms up, the body language is all good, and I suppose we're getting on a bit of a tangent here. But yeah, to that point, I would agree with you, Johnny. I think the manager needs that little bit of backing. We finished 8th last year. We're after getting a chance of Europe while playing a lot of good football this year, like the Derry game. That was kamikaze. Brian Maher makes 10 saves in the last 20 minutes. Sligo away the week after. We draw 0-0. Their keeper makes three or four wonderful saves. We were unlucky against Rovers. We should have maybe had a penalty in the second half. It was the last time Rovers actually played well. And Stephen Bradley will say that. And by the way, fair play to Rovers. They won the league, and we probably shouldn't shy away from that. That we have really good league champions, and the league is moving in the right direction. But yeah, I do echo that as well. What you're saying, Johnny, that they probably haven't been as bad as Bowes fans think they've been over these games. Like the Shelburne game is an anomaly. It's a derby. We actually had 100% record in derbies in Daily Mount up until that game last week. So you're taking that as a Bowes fan, I suppose.
Anthony, you speak bigger of Rovers there. I hope you have a good week waiting on them to see if they can win the FAI Cup final to get us over the line.
And the best of luck to Cork in that as well. Look, we'll leave it there, lads. Ben, fair play for the coverage you gave the women's setup and the FAI Women's Cup final. That was very good all week listening to it. So fair play to you.
Thanks, Anthony. Thanks for hopping on. Thanks for all the contributions throughout the season. I'm sure we'll see you again next season, hopefully.
Cheers, lads. Fair play.
We have Aaron from Sligo there, I think. Aaron, do we have you?
Yeah.
I mean,
that probably couldn't have gone better for you, could it? I know Shamrock Rovers rested a couple of players, but a dream win in Tala.
Oh yeah, massive win. Yeah, Jesus, like obviously haven't won there in, since I think was it 2021, last nine attempts. And obviously going into today, you know, so much riding on it. I think what made it sweeter was that we weren't relying on other results to try and stay up. We did it ourselves and got the job done over the line. But, yeah, rode our luck at some times, you know, obviously Shams of top quality and, I say, on another day, they might have nicked an equaliser, but, yeah, I thought we worked very hard for it. Just delighted that the season's over now and I can relax without having to look forward to a playoff game.
The two teams, Ben, like without, the two teams that are in the argument we're talking about that don't have a proper sugar daddy, like Bowes have obviously maximised their revenue off the pitch, but Sligo Rovers, like to compete, to Sligo Rovers compete against, you know, Luke Cormac, Galway United, the money being put into other clubs, Waterford, Drogheda obviously gone full time. For Sligo Rovers, the only bit of luck they got was that Shamrock Rovers were in party mode tonight. Like if Shamrock Rovers needed to win that game, they would have won the game. But I knew watching them the other night against us that like they're not going to be at it against Sligo. But ultimately Sligo Rovers, a draw would have done them anyway. And John Russell has done, I actually think he's done a phenomenal job because they have done it actually playing a very attractive brand of football. Like, and it's not that easy in this league to do that, but he's been able to attract players to Sligo Rovers who are on the periphery of other teams. Really good ballers. Hakiki's absolutely thrived there. Elding's been outstanding. And congratulations, Aaron. Like to finish with three teams below you, as things were looking early in the season, I think it's a phenomenal effort from everyone.
Oh yeah, like I mean, well, I think we'd one win in the first 12. So like at that stage I was fearing the worst at the start of the season, and turn it around, especially since the summer. I think the big one and turning point for us this season was obviously the summer recruitment. Like, Patrick McLean just came in, was phenomenal at the back. Sam Sargent got really into form. Found his form from like last year when he was with Waterford, and you know, obviously Hideki, Elding. Like the big problem for us now will be, can we hold on to some of these players, and kind of keep a core of a squad, going into next season. I know there are a couple of the Premier Division clubs looking at Hideki, but to be honest, I think he's like, he has to be going to England. He's at that level this year. And obviously he's getting into Ireland under 21s now at this stage as well. So I just think he's that good. But yeah, so fingers crossed we can keep most of the squad, and that'll be a big help going into next season. You know, cause it is hard during the winter months to try and get players in. I know John kind of spoke about that at the start of the season. Like it's hard competing against some of the big teams, as Johnny said, that have big backers and can offer more money than us. So I hope from the likes of even Ryan O'Kane and even James McManus from Bowes that some of the players that are on the peripheral at other of some of the bigger clubs can see that they can come to Sligo and play regular football and, you know, help their own careers at the same time.
Yeah, John Russ has done a phenomenal job there, but the, as you said, the recruitment in the summer was unbelievable. And it kind of, it coincided with, like, no shock, with the upturn in form. There was that kind of spell throughout, June and July where I think you might have only lost one or two games over the course of the 2 months, albeit with a little break in there. And every time I've watched Sligo this season, what I've been most impressed by is kind of free-flowing football, and it's something that you don't always associate with clubs that are, you know, down at the bottom. Like you watch Johnny your Galway sometimes, and it can be dogged football. Like it can be a rough watch, albeit if they stay up, they've done their job. But I've been so impressed with the football John Russell is playing on the budget that they have, and as you said, to battle as a fan-owned club. And when you look back at the season, I mean, no one's going to remember how those final weeks played out. All anyone's going to remember is you're going to look at Sligo Rovers in seventh of the table.
Yeah, and like To be fair, like, you know, I suppose comments have been made about Shamrock Rovers only having 66 points, but, and theoretically they won the league by 3, but like, that's really misleading. Like, Rovers are the league won at halfway here, really, but Sligo Rovers have finished, with 11 wins, from 36, 8 draws, 17 defeats from 36, like 41 points from 36, given how competitive this league was. It's really, really good, like, and, as, like, to have John Russell to stay true to his principles as well, but like, he moved Conor Malley on, which was, I think was,
that was a big call, in fairness.
Yeah. And I think that, like, there was an element of ruthlessness there, like, but they did actually stop conceding bad goals throughout the season as well.
Yeah, 100%, Johnny, but, the likes of McLean coming into the side and even Holly Denham getting him back fully fit, like, the two of them really helped, shore things up there. It really helped. And plus, obviously, bringing in some of the more attacking players like O'Kane and stuff helped us, you know, keep possession a lot more and attack more. And look, in fairness, as you were saying there, like, that's one thing about John Russell is, like, he stuck to his principles and he likes to play that on the deck, attacking football and, passing football. And as you said, like, it could have been very easily, especially after the first 12 games, to just, you know, resort to, you know, just shutting up shop, being tough to beat, but he never did. And in fairness, it paid off in the end. Even though it came down to the last game, and even though last Saturday it felt nearly like a defeat against Cork at home, but like, they've pulled it off there today. And I just can relax now for the rest of the couple of weeks.
What's the best possible scenario now with the Owen Elding situation? He scored again today in 12 goals. Like,
I've heard, like, you hear so many whispers around.
Like, the situation, Ben, is that,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Go on,
yeah,
Barry, Ben,
he's contracted to a decent contract. Yeah, he's contracted to a decent contract for the first time. Sligo won't lose a player now who's out of contract. If somebody wants to come in, they're going to have to pay the money that he's worth to go and take him off Sligo's hands. And that's the position Sligo haven't probably been in before in terms of losing big players. But for John Russell, he's found a little niche in this league where managers look at Sligo going, my player's going to get better under John Russell if I send him on loan. And they all have. They've all got better, the ones that have gone on loan and have moved Sligo and done well. Like kind of Drogheda, they picked up the best of the part-time players. Sligo picked up of the best of the lonely players. The problem for them now moving forward is if they were to progress in the league, those managers will look at it going, well, if Sligo are going to challenge for Europe, we're not going to send them there alone. So they now have to find a progressive kind of future for themselves where they can bring in players, tie them down to longer-term contracts, bring in players from the academies like the Owen Eldings, where they are using their bigger players halfway through the season, and then the season totally dismantled the relegation back again. They start off well and try and compound that good start by keeping those better players and not losing them.
It's a very good point, Baz. And like, Sligo Rovers, right, this is a league that has no TV revenue whatsoever and basically no money, unless, like, there's solidarity money. There's no money really unless you're qualifying in Europe, and they did very well in Europe a couple of years ago. So, like, when you have the owner of Derry City happily basically putting in 2 million sterling a year, whatever the Comers are putting in, around 1 million give or take, you're so reliant on the goodwill of supporters to cobble money together every year. I mean, and as League of Ireland wages are relatively low, but like, the cost of running a men's team, a women's team, all the underage teams, everything else, and then to have stadium development as well, and to be able to compete with still a kind of an ethos of using local players if they can. Like, it's phenomenal achievement. And that's like, when football has gotten so commercial and, you know, there's less of a relationship with the place you're from than ever before, really, in many ways. Like, you look at the Liverpool game tonight, like, you know, what does Liverpool even stand for anymore in terms of the players that are there? Sligo Rovers is still an absolute anomaly, and to come, like, it's so difficult in a small town to be able to have the money to compete. Like, it's really, really difficult with the model that they have, and they pulled it off, but it's not easy going forward for them at all.
Yeah, 100%, Johnny. And in fairness, the academy is a big thing for us as well. Like, obviously, you see Dara Patton, obviously we got two injuries early on in the game. Dara Patton comes on, you know, you've Conor Reynolds, who only did his leaving cert this year. He's got a good few minutes and looks a decent prospect coming up. And, you know, that they've been big for us. Obviously, in the past, we've had Johnny Kenny, etc. So, like, the academy is a big thing, which helps, you know, when the budget is less compared to other teams. But, yeah, with Owen Elding, we'll just have to wait and see. I've heard rumours he could be staying for another season. I've heard rumours big clubs are in for him abroad. So we'll just have to wait and see. And, you know, either way, like, I mean, what he's done this season has been massive for the club, his goals. And, you know, if that's his last contribution in the Rovers shirts, then, you know, you couldn't ask for much more as part of a winning team in Tala to keep us up. So if it is his last kind of contribution, we wish him well, obviously. And hopefully he'll be there for next season, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, Aaron, I'm sure you'll enjoy the winter a little bit more than a couple of other teams, including Waterford, might. Aaron, thanks for hopping on.
I think cheers, lad. Shane. And thanks for this season.
Thank you, Aaron. I think we have Shane Kennedy there.
You all right, lads? Can you hear me?
How are you, Shane? I can hear you there, Shane.
How are you? I wouldn't have a chance to say. Just love, great show. And I see Aidan there coming back from Cork. And hope you just keep it calm next year, because when you're travelling on the far away journey, it's certainly keeps you awake at night, you know. So fair play, lads.
Well, it keeps us awake as well. It keeps us sharp. So. That's a dual edged sword.
It's actually not really a late night show tonight, but you know yourself, it's coming back on a Friday. It's good, but yeah, unbelievable season. My point of view. And to be fair to the Owen Anthony, the Bowles fan, it's more of a compliment, I think, for our club that we got our signings right in during the summer. I don't think Spiel's on that much money, and but without having a dig, it's more we kind of don't have a Ross Tierney or a Dawson Avoy on a certain amount of money, and we've done everything we've done, winning the league on the 25-1 shot, which is something to remember. So wherever we end up, it's because we achieved it. But tonight, like, we obviously had it done, wrapped up with Europe, like, but from a Pat's point of view, lads, that's where I think the biggest talking point of our game was, like, we were unbelievable to get where we needed to be, but for them to throw that much money, it's like the lads just sounded out and said, I'm on this amount, I've got me long-term contracts, I couldn't give a monkey's.
Like, was it that bad?
Yeah. Pat, I thought Pat's were really, really poor tonight. Now, I said it at the top. It was, if you were to watch that game as a neutral and you had no clue about the standing position of the League of Ireland and what was at stake, you would think that Shelburne were the ones who had something to play for. I thought it was a really poor effort, which is, you just, it's inexcusable in a game like that.
Yeah, it's as I said, it's just what one of the lads went around and said to me, it's like they have their contracts and they don't care. Like,
yeah.
It was mind-boggling. I couldn't genuinely believe what I was watching as just a football fan to go, like, you swear we needed something to play for, which we had a little bit, but by that stage we all knew it was gone. But like, what Joey is doing, and for me, is he manager of the year? I'm not too sure, but for him to come in halfway through a season and face what he faced, and credit to, I don't know if he take part in the signings, but like, Vessel Spiel, like, who the hell heard of him? Like, his impact, which I haven't ever spoken about, has been massive. Like, with the ball at his feet, he's not great, but it's just his calmness and his aerial ability to catch a football. It's just, whoever plucked him out of God knows where in the States, and now we have a link with some data analysis team, which I'm not too sure if
I know. Yeah, that's Jamestown Analytics. That's Tony Bloom. Johnny, you're
the heart boy. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. in fairness, Shane, yeah, like Joey coming in like that, and this is his first big job as and to come from the background of maybe there's an element. In fairness, you were very on this at the time. You were saying like we'll probably be better without Damien Duff at the moment, the way things were going. But like, I think Shells maybe up till tonight had scored pretty much in every league game. They should have two draws from the European group stages, which is some going. They've Jack Henry France next season, and Meatballs had a good end to the season. Like, they should have won the game tonight, obviously. And a lot, like, quite a lot of squad depth going into next season as well. Lots of upside going into 2026.
Shane, do we have you there? Might have dropped off. I think. Oh, go on, yeah. I just want to say before you answer that, Barry might have an interesting view on this. I remember a couple of weeks into Joey O'Brien, a couple of weeks back, Joey O'Brien was talking about leaving Sean Moore out of the European squad, and he said it was the toughest decision he's ever had to make. And I remember he also made the point of, I don't know how long I'm going to be at this managerial gig. And I remember reading that and kind of thinking, God, I wonder how that's going to go for Chelsea going forward and at the end of the season. But after a run like that in the last six games, like, there's no way you can have any thought of walking.
But that's just the reality of it, Baz. Like, most managers get at most, they don't even get two jobs, most of them. They get an average of 1 point something. And, like, you're sacked in no time at all. Cherenny was nearly, like, under pressure if they didn't. It's mad stuff. So I think he's probably just being cognizant of the fact that football management is ridiculous. Like, people are just sacked left, right and centre. You wouldn't expect it nearly in any other work at all, even in sport. So maybe he was just cognizant of that and he was being realistic.
Yeah, well, I think it's more so he's probably too good for the league, I think, and he's probably going to get taken somewhere, which hopefully we have him under contract and we get a good old compensation for him. That's my take.
You reckon,
on that
yeah?
Or else he's learning from the main man himself, and he's like just throwing a bit of clout out there for a bit of headlines. Once every while he might do it. But yeah, no, you could see tonight, even like we had something else to play for. But the only thing is, there's one thing that we can clearly, if listened to it over the last few years, or over second team would win the league. That's certainly not the case now, the amount of games they've lost. There's no over second team winning no league.
Was it a case tonight, Shane? Sorry. Like, was anyone good for Pats?
No. Levy was, but he's just as usual.
Levy had a great chance. It was a Shell's corner, actually, and Joey and Ang came out and collected it. And, I mean, the one thing I'll say about Joey and Ang, we've seen it so many times from this season, whatever about the couple of, you know, mistakes he may have had with shot stopping, his distribution has been unbelievable all season. And he plays this pass about 50 yards out to the right wing, and Levy catches it in a stride, and he bursts by McEnroy, and he gets into the box. And Mace Amelia is back at about the penalty spot, and he's half the goal to shoot at, if he squares it. And he goes for goal, he skies it, and it's just kind of that thing. And we've talked about it on here before, about Keane Levy, about that end product. And if it was just a little bit more composure, Pats probably could have gone 1-0 up there.
Should have taken him off, though. They literally had nothing after they took him off, whatever, if that was end product. Like, but you take him off, and I wouldn't have said Pat that anything, even Melia, and you kind of hear that argument of, do young players go? Is it a hindrance to them? Like, I don't know, the coaching he's getting now, potentially maybe it is a hindrance, because looking at him, I follow a bit of sports, like, and looking at him there, he's not going to go nowhere into that sport team, like, taking too many touches in the box, like, how long, like, he doesn't have that much time, just little things that maybe he would have been better going over 2 years ago, if he was that good, obviously he has been. But now from a Pats perspective, like, it was, I'm not even like clout chasing or whatever, but that was madness what you could see there. Like, it was just, yeah, I don't know, from a Pats, but I hear they're going after Diallo. So part of me was like, they don't need the money. So he'd probably rather them get in ahead of Bowes. But if they're signing Diallo without Europe, that just shows the backing that they'd have. Like,
yeah, Barry, you talked about it there at the top of the show, the need for a midfielder like that, the likes of Diallo. I mean, he'd be a game changer for Pats.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Yeah, you would. Let's look at the opposite side and look what Karamax has come in. Like, I'm just surprised he didn't make team of the year. He was definitely my team of the year. You look at goals he came up with, the three big goals, Rovers, Pats and Bowes scored the win against all three of them, and that's a difference maker. And you look at Pats and go, where is that player? July was there from somebody in, didn't do it, didn't bring in a game changer. And it's that the way the league is going at the moment. That two in front of the back three, back four is massive. You look at Rovers to a Heeland and what should be there. Derry are obviously trying to solidify that now and hope to keep hold of Diallo by the sounds of it. But Pats just have that at the moment. They don't have somebody that can be joined on keen heed that gets the ball and runs with it. That's the only way that Pats that's break through the line. It isn't past the centre. They try and get it wide to Murray or Eddie when they're trying new wings, trying to use power there outside. Not going to the middle, the other teams are. And it has worked for them. Once nullify Pats out wide and hold them out from out wide, then you kind of nullify Pats' real strengths. And for them, they've no real other options. Forrester has been deeper and deeper to get on the ball and affect the game. They just probably they can pass the ball joins at the moment and get them to forward to play. And it's Mason Melia who's really done by the bootstrap and giving them a chance to send it to Europe. And you're pinning your son at 17, turn into 18-year-old. You're way off it.
Barry, I think your mic is just breaking up there. Your connection is just breaking us up on there a little bit. Shane, thanks for hopping on tonight and thanks for all the contributions throughout the season.
Before I go, lads, fair play to Galway. Have to say, delighted to see them stay up. And from an end of season point of view, I hope Duffy wins player of the league. Because it's a lot harder to score 12 goals and 13 assists than it is to pass the ball 6 yards, which no offence to my people. From that point of view, goes on and wins it because he's an unbelievable player and you just like to see football win instead of a 6-yard pass.
Well, thank you, Shane. And speaking of Michael Duffy, we should have Aidan in there who's on his way back from Cork City, I think. Aidan, do we have you there? We're waiting on Aidan to get in. Johnny, on that topic of player of the season, and it is an interesting one, do you give it to one of the midfielders, the likes of Healy or Devoy, or do you give it to that attacker who has the output at the end?
Yeah, it's funny, like, just talking on the show today on the radio, like, Graham Gartland, defenders in the sense of Bowes kind of gambling on basically central midfielders defensively. And there is, like, this is a good chat for the pub, and I've had this chat with... Remember having the chat with Stephen O'Donnell about like who's a better footballer, you know, Patrick McElhinney or you know, Duffy for Ireland, who's basically a defender for Derry but is a defender. And like I remember that night Stephen O'Donnell was like, Patrick McElhinney is a better footballer than an Irish defender because of what he can do with the ball. It's easier to defend than it is to basically score goals or be a playmaker. And to be honest, I kind of agree with that, and I'd certainly have Michael Duffy I'm not sure there's even a massive debate because he has been like start to finish outstanding. Players have come in, they've dipped in and out. He's actually getting on a bit now. He's 31, so he's at that kind of slight veteran stage of his career. But like Derry had so many players coming in this season, did a lot of upheaval. As a player, that can upset you. He was even talking on our podcast this week about like losing form a little bit after he didn't get an Ireland call up before during the pandemic. And the stats that he's produced in a league that is like extremely bereft of regular goal scorers at the top of the table is outstanding. Like to get that goal tonight, he's been so dynamic. And really consistent. Like, I don't know if he's had a dip at all season. And to play in that position, he's been obviously playing a bit more central. He's been allowed to roam. And I think Tiernan Lynch deserves credit for that as well. I would have Dawson Devoy in the argument. Certainly any time I've seen him, he's been really outstanding. But for me, Michael Duffy's player of the year. I would totally disagree with Graeme Gartland. I don't think it's relevant at all who you played for, whether you could be the player of the year and finish last if you're miles better than everyone else. You don't need to be on the champions. And Duffy for me has been brilliant. Like, and funnily enough, Derry, we've had plenty of criticism of them, but like, they've had a great end to the season. Really, really good end to the season. And as much as they have a lot of money coming in, they actually became a very solid side towards the end. Duffy's my player of the year by a canter.
Well, we'd be a bit remiss was to not, mention the champions. It'd be a bit poor form. Ed, do we have you in? I don't think we have Ed.
How are you doing, guys? Yeah, I'm here now. Can you hear me?
Ed, yeah, we have you there.
Yeah.
Fifth title in six seasons. It doesn't get much better than that.
You know what? I was just about to say it's like what the manager has done to this football club is extraordinary. And, we probably won the league weeks ago and it's been kind of drawn out a bit. But you never get bored of celebrations like today and seeing the players and fans of winning 5 out of 6 titles. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable, really. And the manager and all the staff, we're lucky to have them, to be honest.
Do you think your manager will be staying in the job for much longer? There's been a bit of talk the last couple of weeks that he's done all he can do at Shamrock Rovers.
Well, like, he hasn't done a double. Oh, that's the dog here barking. Hold on. He hasn't done a double, but you know, we were just discussing this today that I think I was 6 years old the last time Rovers won a double. It's nearly 40 years since we've done a double. So I think we wrote off Europe this year. Most of the fans have. We want that double badly. And if he goes and beats Cork in the final, he's nothing else to achieve at this football club. He really hasn't. And if he decide to go, they go, and nobody can stand in the way.
I think we have Barry back. Barry, your old club, obviously Shamrock Rovers. What does Stephen Bradley do now?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think in terms of what he's done domestically, he's won 5 out of 6 leagues. He's won the cup already. If he does the double now, and if teams are looking from abroad, going, yeah, we could take a chance on a manager. Is there much keep him here? Probably not. I think the Ireland job is obviously one he really would look to go after. Will he get something like that after the Stephen Kenny reign? Maybe not just at the yes. He might need to go abroad and prove himself abroad a little bit before he gets that. But in terms of domestically, he's probably done everything he can do here. And I know Albert Riera had a pop at him about staying in Ireland for so long during the week, the Celio manager. And obviously the reasons he stayed were his young lad in Josh not being well. And now he's back well. It's good. You think he might just move on at the end of the season if something big comes his way?
Yeah, it's definitely like, where does Stephen Bradley go from here? And I imagine he will be in the argument in relation to the future Ireland manager. The problem would be maybe the personalities involved in the FEI might be a slight stumbling block. And I know there are issues there, but I do feel with this as well, it's always about the manager, but like Cronin, and McPhail and that team that they have, they've basically been there all together. The three of them, they're kind of like, you see them, they do a lot of their stuff is public together on the pitch during the game at halftime. They do things together and it's that team. And Shamrock Rovers gave Stephen Bradley, they gave him time and that management team, it's just, it kind of almost feels like as well, and I could be wrong in this, but what Josh has had to go through, I think has given absolute perspective to this team in that, okay, if we're in a bit of a crisis here, it's a football crisis. Let's get through it. Let's not lose our cool. We'll manage it. And they've just become a really, really solid team. I felt this league was over so far out. They could have finished with a much higher points tally. While at the same time, it's kind of hard to know how good they are because they haven't been pushed this season. And they you know, they've won the league without really a striker hitting anywhere near the amount of goals you'd expect. Burkey's had a good season, but what Bradley does from here will be very, very interesting. Like, but I feel he deserves being the running for the Ireland job.
Just to say what most people aren't talking about is that this current squad and management team, they had 2 weeks off at the end of December going into January. That's all they had. 2 weeks.
That was it.
You know, and they went all the way. We went all the way through last year. We went to the playoffs against Mold in February. We played Bowls in the fourth. That group of players had no time off and we've still won the league probably all right. The points total doesn't look like we've won it comfortably, but we have. We've won it.
Well, one of the reasons I actually tipped Pats, and this seems absolutely ridiculous now, was because I was like, Rovers have had no break here. This is just really weird going into one winter season into from a summer season. They've had no break and they've managed it really well.
I think so, like, you know, and there was a lot of injuries at the start and players were carrying. And, you know, I have to be honest, Johnny, I thought when we lost Ferrugia, Bournes, we lost a couple of others, and I was saying, geez, we're a bit
low.
We're a bit light here at the beginning. But, you know, he's brought some players through, and I think it's exciting. I think it's ominous for the rest of the league. I do. I think Victor's going to be let loose next year. You've got Max, who's going to be let loose. You have Michael Noonan, who has a year under his belt, who's going to be let loose. And whoever else the management decide to bring in, I think we're only going to get stronger.
Yeah, Ed, I'd agree with you there. The thing as well is they took an absolute gamble on Rory Gaffney coming through this season and being the talisman. Like, you look at him at the start of the season, he had an ankle injury, wasn't given a contract, was given training time to prove his worth as Shamrock Rovers, and he's come up with the big goals at big times. He's another year older now. What do they do? Where do they go and get that striker? John McGovern looks good, very raw the other night against Galway. He's playing up top with Gaffney. So in terms of stepping forward, those young lads coming through will be brilliant, but they need an out-and-out goal scorer. To me, there's an obvious one in Pádraig Amhain. I know he's 37. He's played every game this season. He's played every game last season. I don't see why one of the big clubs don't go, here's a year contract with another year after it if you meet certain markers. Put him down, get him into one of the big four teams. I think he still has a massive job for you. And I wouldn't be surprised if I see him end up at Shamrock Rovers.
That's absolutely ridiculous, Baz. Yeah. But like you are right. Like the goal again tonight, like Jesus Christ, he doesn't seem to have lost any pace over a couple of yards. I remember even at the end of last season, he did Pico in a bit of movement that it was just like an honour to be at a game, see the movement he had, and Damien Duff was hailing it. I completely agree with you. I think if you throw him in, he's absolutely a presence, like, and he would have, if Shamrock Rovers had Amhain this season, he would have been walked away with top goal scorer.
And he's dead fit as well, as didn't he? Like, he hardly missed a game.
He hasn't missed a game. He's played every game this season.
There you go.
He's played every game last season.
Yeah,
like,
incredible.
That's for a 37-year-old. Like, it's just incredible the goals he's getting. And every manager comments on his movements, his ability to do it. If you keep him in that box, you get the players around him, which Shamrock Rovers has already had, and players coming through. He will score you another 15 goals next season, and that could be the difference. It's about who can nail down a guaranteed score, and you have one in Pádraig Amhain. There's no point looking elsewhere. You've got one who's got another year or two left in them, at least. You've got to go out. It's first to go out and get him for me.
Yeah, it's either that or maybe Shawnee McGuire. Maybe.
Yeah, it depends what his ties are down in Cork, whether he's prepared to move again. He's obviously got a young family, came back from England for
a couple of years. But I think, Bob, we were close to signing him, weren't we? Only for the length of the contract was an issue, wasn't it?
Yeah, you see the thing with Shamrock Rovers, Johnny talked about Stephen McPhail, Glenn Cronin and Brad there as well. Stephen McPhail is the director of football and he's sitting on the bench. It's the cohesion between the club there and who they're bringing in. They're getting exactly who Brad wants. Like at other clubs, I know that the model is, listen, there's a bit of a takeaway between the director of football and the manager. Sometimes they mightn't get the players they actually want. They get exactly who they want, and it's worked so far. It's just interesting to see what happens there if Bradley does move. Does the whole group move away together, or what way that works? But yeah, it's worked so well for them so far.
Well, we've a small matter of Athens, AK Athens away, and what I would be saying, and what most of the Rovers fans are saying is, play, don't risk anyone. The double is more important next Sunday. Listen, if we went to Athens, we're a full strength team after what they done to Aberdeen. I think we might lose the game, but I wouldn't be risking anyone next Thursday. I'd be putting them, wrapping them in cotton wool.
How much will a cup double mean to you, Ed?
Now I'm going to Athens and so is 500 fans, and you know, but everyone I speak to, all they're talking about is the cup final. Is the double.
Jesus Christ, Ed. So you've basically watched them win the league Wednesday night, watched them get the trophy tonight, you're going to Athens next week, and then you're going to a cup final.
And none of this ever happens in my life. Don't forget, we've organised my sports, but we've organised the White Horse. Don't forget the White Horse next Sunday, the march from Ringsend Village.
Beautiful.
And the horse's name this year is John. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Brilliant. Ed, come here. Thanks for hopping on tonight. Enjoy the celebrations tonight. And geez, what a week you have ahead of you.
Bring it on.
Make every last minute of that count. Thanks for hopping on, Ed.
Thanks, lads. Thanks a lot. Bye bye.
Lads, we might just have the final word. A couple of clubs we haven't touched on. Johnny, just very quickly, your Galway United, to get the result today, to stay up, is that all you could have hoped for going into this season?
Very, very briefly, United were actually in the title race last season, but like realistically, they were certainly in with the shout of going into the European places. And there are a couple of things that I need to say here because I was thinking back on this when Ollie Horgan was appointed with John Caulfield. I mean, I thought that was a regressive step in terms of the way we play football. And as I'm watching the trends in football now with kind of long throws and a lot of set pieces and all of that, maybe the great man is looking down on me tonight and he'd definitely have a dig at me and have a laugh about it, Ollie Horgan. But Ollie Horgan and John Caulfield together, you know, combined made Galway United as good as they've been pretty much for a long, long time. And last season was phenomenal. It would have been very, very difficult this season to do the same thing again. And then with Moses Dyer leaving, that left us very much bereft up front. Like he was possibly the best striker in the league, or not far off anyway on form. And then to did flirt finishing second last, but like the loss of Ollie Horgan, as much as he was terminally ill, obviously, it happened quite suddenly as well. And I can only imagine how the players had to rally. John Daly coming in then was a very canny move. What the future holds for John Caulfield, John Daly, all that, I'm not really sure. I would put it down as a very solid season. The one thing I would say is I would like them to play a nicer brand of football going forward. I've said this before, I think since Shane Keegan was the manager, that's like about 7 or 8 years ago, we haven't been great to watch at all, really. And that's not a slight in them, but just from my own perspective, I'd like to see us playing more of a football in style. But it was a very good end of the season. Like that win against Cork was massive. They switched to four at the back and became much more solid defensively. Were good in Tala the other night, could have nicked results, certainly could have nicked results. And John Caulfield, by and large, he had a slow start, but bringing in Ollie Horgan, the late brilliant Ollie Horgan, was a master stroke. Putting Stephen Walsh up front, and that was absolutely all down to John Caulfield, was a master stroke against Waterford 2 or 3 seasons ago. So I'd be very happy and looking forward to next season. I think there'll be a lot of bubble in the off season.
Yeah, it is. It's probably a timely reminder of, you know, days like today, Shamrock Rovers lift the league and there's such joy and adulation and that as well around Sligo staying up and Galway staying up that, you know, we have lost one of the greats all time in our league and he'd be sadly missed. Barry, if you can just look ahead to the promotion relegation playoff, looking ahead for Waterford, is this a surefire thing? Should Waterford be going into this expecting to win?
Absolutely not. I think I had experience myself in 2005. That was a two-legged affair. We played Dublin City in that, and it's the most horrible, tense game you'll ever play, and that was over two legs, so you felt you had another bite of the cherry. When you go into a one-legged affair, on a team that's in form in Bray, coming into this, on a team that's out of form in Waterford, I think it's a lot closer than people think it's going to be. Anything can happen on the night. You look at Mountney tonight, very lucky to stay on the pitch. That happens early in the game, things totally turned on their heads. The only big difference is Amund steps up in big games. They've got some good experience in that Waterford team there to go and maybe get them over the line. But a one-off shot at this, I just wouldn't be guaranteed anything in this game. Anything can happen.
I'd echo Baz on that. I do think, Ben, that Waterford were good tonight. It was memories. I think the first time I was in Waterford was like the day of the Good Friday Agreement, 1998. I have a kind of a fondness for the RSC, even though there's the running track around it. Like, but it was one of these. I remember when United and Waterford in the Don O'Riordan era in the late 90s were both scrapping not to go down the end of the season. Billy Cleary got a last minute header against Pats at home, and the place went ballistic. And it was the same again, ourselves versus Waterford. Like, they laid siege to the United goal in the second half. They didn't, like, it wasn't like an XG onslaught, but they really were, like, United just sat back, understandably, like, and Waterford laid siege. I think they look in very good nick. They look in good nick. I wouldn't be worried about them not putting in a performance. And as much as I've said, like, the playoff is slightly a bit of a lottery regardless of whether it's Treaty or Bray. I'd be surprised, to be honest, if Waterford, I'd be surprised if they don't put in a proper good performance, and that should be enough.
I was hoping I'd catch you out there, Barry, and you'd let slip that they should be walking this and it'd be something to hang up on one of Bray Wander's retreat, you know, while I was going into the game.
I think I've been put up on enough walls this season.
Listen, there's always room for one more. Lads, very quickly before we end up, FAI Cup final this Sunday, who's going to win it? Johnny, I'll start with you.
Yeah, briefly, Cork City have good players. I think they'll bring plenty to the game. But Rovers, domestically, they've a habit of being able to manage things. And I kind of agree with what Ed was saying there. This is the big one now for them, the end of the season, more so than Europe. And they should have too much quality.
Barry?
Yeah, you'd think they'd have too much quality. The only kind of saving grace maybe for Cork is the form Rovers are in. Got the result against Galway the other night. Galway more than deserved a point in that game, as their form over late hasn't been great, and it's very hard to get back up to speed, go through the gears again if you have come off it somewhat. So that gives Cork a glimmer of hope, and you've got some lads with experience in that Cork team that have won cups before. Yeah, I think Rovers should get over the line and do it, but you never know.
Well, thanks everyone for all your contributions throughout the year, and everyone who tuned in and listened on or talked. League of Ireland Football on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Always be drinkaware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie. We of course have that FAI Cup final to come on Sunday. I'll be there, and the Aviva Stadium will have coverage all across our Off the Ball channels. And of course we've promotion relegation battle to look forward to next week. Barry, thanks for hopping on tonight.
Yeah, no problem.
And Johnny Ward, thanks for today, and thanks for all season long. We're already looking forward to next season.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Great job since you come in as well.
Well, thanks everyone. I've been Ben Simons. We'll chat again in February for a brand new season.
League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rockshore on Off the Ball.
Well, if Daniel Kelly won that header, you clipped that and you saved that in the Shelbourne folklore.
League of Ireland Late Night, live every Friday from 10 on Twitter Spaces.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.